How should Lutherans respond to the assertion, your church is too Catholic? Find out in Pastor Will Wheaton's column in the latest Issues Etc. Journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Joshua Pauling traces his path from big box evangelicalism and Reformed Calvinism to the treasures of historic Christianity found in the Lutheran Church, the free online Issues Etc. Journal.
We now have first-person intel from inside the Westview anomaly.
What are we looking at here? Is it an alternate reality, time travel?
It's a sitcom.
Starring two Avengers?
It's a working theory.
Well, I know the apron is a bit much, dear, but I am doing my best to blend in.
Hello, dear.
Hiya, kid.
Hiya, kiddo.
Life moves pretty fast out in the suburbs.
Something's wrong here.
Should we just take it from the top?
Why not? I don't know how any of this started.
What is outside of Westfield?
That is a little bit of a montage from Disney Plus's TV series WandaVision. If you feel a little lost when you see people posting about it on social media, you're in good company. You do have to go pretty deeply into the Marvel Universe to know who the characters are and then later to understand the premise. But it turns out that this miniseries is actually about grief. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Ted Geese joins us to talk about the Disney Plus TV series WandaVision. After that, we'll be discussing woke ideology in public high schools. Josh Pauling, author of a recent column titled The Look of the Hunted in Today's U.S. High Schools, will be our guest. And then Pastor Tom Baker is alongside to teach a Sunday school lesson on Solomon building the temple in 1 Kings 6 and 11. Joining us to discuss the Disney Plus TV series WandaVision, Pastor Ted Geese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
If I'm not conversant in the Marvel Universe, and especially the various kind of side characters of the Marvel Universe, am I going to be able to make heads or tails out of WandaVision?
I think so. I mean, the thing is that it's kind of like an Easter egg hunt. The harder you look, the more eggs you're going to get, I guess. So, I mean, like, there's a general story that you could, like, latch into and understand just fine, but it would, I guess, reward people who know more about this kind of complex web of the story that's being told by Marvel through Disney. I guess maybe the thing to think about is that, you know, this is sort of, they're starting to approximate what you actually get in the comic book world, where you've got multiple iterations of things. You've got, you know, this ever expanding story that links this part with this part with this part. So they've kind of replicated in film and TV the same thing that is and has gone on in the comic book stories over time. This is what's part of what's going on with this kind of a thing. So, yeah, you could just like wander into a comic book store, pick up issue one of a particular iteration of a superhero character from Marvel and just kind of get into the story and later understand the rest of it, I guess. Or you could come into it already being a complete nerd when it comes to all of these things and knowing every little last detail about everything. I think that there's an entry point for both. And they are kind of keeping everybody in mind when they make it. So there are kind of easy Easter eggs for people to catch on to and maybe more complicated ones that are pretty deep in the weeds of all of the Marvel lore when it comes to their comic books.
What is the premise? What is the plot?
Well, you kind of start off knowing about as much as the main characters know. You have the characters of Wanda Maximoff and Vision, who's kind of a artificial intelligence character that sort of was started by Tony Stark. these two had become a couple along the way in previous films. People have had chance to get to know them. They were both introduced really in Avengers Age of Ultron. And that's where Wanda Maximoff kind of becomes a good guy character. She starts off the movie as a bad guy character, switches sides at the end and becomes part of the Avengers, kind of like the B squad of the Avengers. And then the Vision ends up being like brought online as a sentient weapon, as it were, against, you know, threats, et cetera, et cetera. Ultron being the one back then. So they've had a bit of a story. So people would know, if they've been paying attention, that they were a couple and then Vision dies in Infinity Wars, Avengers film, that his Infinity Stone is ripped out of him and he dies. You might know that going in. So then as you arrive at this Disney Plus TV show, miniseries, you find them living this kind of sitcom idyllic sort of life back in the like a 40s, 50s black and white sitcom show. These episodes are roughly about 30, 35 minutes long, kind of the same length as Mandalorian episodes. This is a formula that Disney is kind of doing with their Disney Plus TV programs. And so you find them in this little world where they're in this sitcom and they don't remember their previous life. So there's a mystery, and as the mystery unfolds, you figure out what is going on in the town of Westview, and that there is actually an outside world, that this isn't a dream, it's some sort of something else. Then the question is, are they trapped in there? Who's trapped them in there? Why are they in there? What's going on? And, you know, what is real? What isn't real? And it slowly unfolds in a kind of a mysterious way where you're learning alongside the central characters as well. So then the whole thing really turns out to be a show about grief and loss and identity for these characters, and also a bit of a platform to start to, I guess, introduce themes that will be in the next iteration, the next stage of the Marvel films as well. So the whole thing is actually kind of a commercial for stuff that's coming up, maybe, in some ways as well. And it has this sitcom structure to it, where each episode is like another decade of common sitcom kind of tropes and styles that you can find in American television through the last, I don't know, 80 years or something. So this is kind of what you're getting. So it comes complete with little commercials inside the commercials. So it is one of these meta narrative kind of shows, if you take a step way back and look at it.
So you mentioned a connection with a forthcoming Marvel film. What is that connection in particular?
Well, yeah, there's a couple. One major one is this Doctor Strange movie that's coming up. And it is Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, I guess. And I think it was initially supposed to come out this year, but it may have been bumped probably to 2022. So not 2021, but 2022. And Wanda Maximoff, the character, is set to be in that film as well. And then there's also another one that's coming out slated for this year, which is the Spider-Man No Way Home, which is the third of the Spider-Man movies in this iteration of Spider-Man. And it also has the return of Doc Ock, played by Alfred Molina. But he was from Spider-Man 2, which is a 2004 movie by a different director, Sam Raimi, I think, and by a different company. So this introduces this idea of the multiverse. The multiverse is part of what's going to be coming up in this Doctor Strange movie, and it's also perhaps going to be part of maybe this Spider-Man movie, and it's kind of hinted at all over the place in this show. So this is just something that's kind of bubbling in the background, and it's kind of tantalizingly hinted at, you know, in this idea of multiple universes where the same people are in all of these different universes, or they're similar in nature in some ways and things overlap or don't overlap, kind of like a Venn diagram sort of a thing. So this is part of it as well.
So we're going to spoil it for people who haven't seen it. I haven't seen it, but I also don't plan on seeing it because I dropped Disney Plus for other reasons. But let's talk a little bit about what the big mystery is and how it becomes a kind of a comical sitcom-based tale of grief, as you said.
Yeah, so what happens along the way is Vision starts to be suspicious about what's going on, and he then discovers along the way that he actually might not be a real person, that he might be a recreation of his former self, and that Wanda or somebody might be doing it. So they kind of play fast and loose a little bit. They make you think maybe that it is Wanda, and then they make you think that it's a different character. There's this nosy next-door neighbor character, Agnes, and she turns out to actually be a sub-character. She's played by Catherine Hahn, really actually does a really wonderful job in the character of Agnes. Turns out that she's this Agatha Harkness, who is a witch, who it seems like she may be pulling the strings behind the scenes, sitting in the director's chair of all of these little sitcom machinations. But it turns out that what she's there for is she's trying to sap Wanda of her energy and power, her magic, etc., and is just capitalizing on the situation, not necessarily orchestrating it. So this is kind of going on, and they got to figure out what's going on. Plus, outside of all of it, this thing is kind of like happened on this town. So it is a real town, and there are real people. They're all trapped inside, and they're being kind of made miserable. And essentially, they're being made miserable because they're being made to play sitcom parts. And of course, sitcoms are not real. And if you were forced to live your life as though you were in a sitcom, it's not actually probably going to be happy. It'll be horrifying if you have any idea that this is happening to you, kind of a thing. So there's a little bit of an edge to all of it. And there's this outside story going on where they're trying to get in. They're also trying to get Vision out. There's this group that's like S.H.I.E.L.D., but it's called S.W.O.R.D., that's kind of part of this Marvel Cinematic Universe. They're trying to figure out what's going on. And so you get these extra characters from other shows. So if Wanda and Vision are kind of like B-grade Avenger characters, then you get like C-grade sidekick characters that kind of pop into the story, like FBI agent Jimmy Woo from Ant-Man 2, Ant-Man and the Wasp. So like you get these kind of characters that kind of come into the story. So the outside world eventually breaks in. That whole sitcom, episode by episode sitcom kind of thing starts to break apart. And the rest of the story kind of starts coming into the forefront, and eventually it all comes to the head where there is an actual real physical body of Vision that exists outside of this thing called the Hex, which is kind of like a giant magic spell over this town. Then there's a kind of the fake version of Vision, and the quote unquote physical real version of Vision are duking it out in the last episode. And then it starts to become a philosophical question about, like, well, who is the real Vision? What would even count as being real in the midst of all of it? And this is a thread that's been running through the whole thing, because she's recreated, Wanda basically in her grief has born into existence this fake version of a world, a life that she might have had with Vision, all mitigated through the American sitcom, which she experienced as contraband when she lived behind the Iron Curtain as a kid with her parents before her family was busted up by war and things like that. So this is all kind of about simulacra, about what's not real, about what is real, about what would count as real, about your feelings in the midst of grief and loss and how that may change the way you look at the world around you. This is the stuff that's in this show as it unfolds.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're talking about the Disney Plus series WandaVision. When we come back, it has an affinity for some movies that played around with the notion of what is real, in particular Pleasantville and The Truman Show.
Christian Hope, The Constitution and Civic Virtue, Daily Bible Reading, News Media Consumption, American Revivalism. You can meet and hear some of your favorite guests teach on these topics at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th in Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org. The Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, July 23rd and 24th at Concordia University, Chicago.
Join the Concordia University Chicago Wind Symphony and the Sheboygan Lutheran High School Symphonic Band as they celebrate the gospel through the gift of music. Tune into the live streaming concert, Coast to Coast, Praising Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, on Friday, March 12th at 7:30 p.m. You can also help the schools reach their goal of having congregations from all 50 states watching. Learn more about becoming a partner congregation and supporting Christian music at LutheranHigh.com.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. Simplyclassical.com.
Have you ever wished you could see Ad Crucem's products before buying them? Well, now you can. Ad Crucem has opened our brand new workshop in Littleton, Colorado. Come visit us and watch how we make our Christmas ornaments. Check out the quality and fabric of our church banners, or choose some greeting cards, posters, icons, or jewelry. Of course, if you can't make it to Colorado, we are still open online. For details or directions, visit adcrucem.com. That's ADC. RUCEM.com.
To prepare for our celebration of the resurrection of our Lord on Easter Sunday, we take a season of 40 days to focus on our need to repent of our sins and our need for a Savior from sin. The season of repentance and preparation is called Lent. A little bit from the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, a simple explanation of Easter, and that's exactly what it is. For those who want to know what Easter is, why Christians hold it central and celebrate it the way they do, you'll find all your answers in a simple explanation of Easter. You'll find the book at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, a simple explanation of Easter. We're discussing the Disney Plus TV series WandaVision. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. So, Ted, you say that this miniseries has an affinity for two other films that kind of play with the notion of what is real, Pleasantville and The Truman Show. Talk about that.
Well, it is, and I mean, there's other ways that people can look at this too. There's like the whole idea about Pleasantville and a movie like The Truman Show is the Truman Show. The character doesn't know that he's in it. And then eventually he figures out that all of this has been orchestrated around him. And then this is a Jim Carrey movie. So then he has to kind of grapple with, well, what does that mean? If my whole life has been a fiction, what do I think of this? Pleasantville, again, it's this idea that, you know, everything is kind of like the old black and white. It's all black and white film. And then color starts to come back into the story, and it's usually surrounded around like sexual things, actually, in that Pleasantville. And you have little nods to these kinds of things going on in this, but it boils down to, well, what makes life worth living, and what is, in the terms of Pleasantville, it's kind of fairly base opinion on that matter, but you know, what makes life worth living, and why, like, what is my identity in the life that I have to live? These become kind of questions. And I think that, like, beyond that, you have like this idea of the curated life. So people like produce a curated version of themselves on Facebook and on, I don't know, Instagram or Twitter or what, on these social media platforms. And there's a varying degree as to how aware or how self-aware people are as they curate themselves on those platforms. They may also be watching reality television. So you have a show like Big Brother, where the characters in the show are competing and they know that they're in a show. So then, of course, this is like the observer effect. Like, how do people operate differently if they know that they're being watched? Does that bring out the best in people? Does that bring out the worst in people? And in the course of this show, you have the people on the outside who are working for this government agency watching the sitcoms as they're being quote unquote aired and kind of trying to follow the story that's being presented. So there's a lot of kind of bizarre stuff that I think that is, as a viewer, you might want to take some of this stuff and then turn a different direction and look at the nature of how we live our lives today. You know, how often do we, you know, hide inside of fictions that we've created for ourselves? The other thing is this grief and loss, of course, is a big part of it. And there's this rather poetic and really kind of beautiful little thing that the character of the Vision says to Wanda once he knows what's going on. And he says, "What is grief if not love persevering?" And that's like quite beautiful in some ways. But then the other thing that we need to kind of think about is, you know, if somebody wallows in their grief or uses their grief as an excuse or subconsciously uses an excuse for bad behavior, then what, right? So the question is this character who turns out to be quite ambiguous, this, and is a little bit like that in the comic books too, this Wanda Maximoff, who also has the moniker of the Scarlet Witch, who is like into chaos magic. The question is, are we watching the continuing origin story of a good hero who has virtues, or are we watching the origin story of a villain who has lost their way? So that's part of this as well.
Talk a little bit more about the how it is structured around the evolution of the sitcom. And it does strike me that you go probably, what, 4 or 5 episodes before you get into anything that younger people would actually remember seeing on television. People like us, older folks, remember at least in reruns.
Yes.
I Love Lucy and the Honeymooners and things like that. But yes. There's a whole generation of Marvel fans for whom that's ancient history, and they have no idea why anyone would be laughing at that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, and this may be the way in which they get introduced to some of those old shows. And what you get is with things like where they're riffing on things like I Love Lucy or The Honeymooners or The Dick Van Dyke Show or Bewitched or I Dream of Jeannie or The Munsters or things like that, old things. Or even like, I mean, if you're looking at like millennial kids or younger kids even than that, well, they would not even remember The Brady Bunch or The Jeffersons or Happy Days or, you know, even things like Full House or Family Ties. Like all of these kinds of shows, or Malcolm in the Middle or Boy Meets World, you know, all of these things are kind of maybe foreign to them. They may have memories of things like Modern Family or The Office or Parks and Recreation, but these are the kind of shows that are being referenced in a way. So it's every episode that has one of these thematic trope kind of laden sitcom facades. They're not like just only The Honeymooners or something. They're drawing from a bunch of different shows from that time period to give people kind of a taste of the flavor of what that was all like. And what you see is kind of this sort of like a arc moving from simple, easy, straightforward, less complicated, more idyllic kind of stories to, you know, more complicated, more challenging, things not going maybe as smoothly as you might expect, kind of a presentation of things. And eventually you get to the names of the episodes change too. So eventually you get to one called Breaking the Fourth Wall, which is where the characters start to talk directly to you on the other side of the screen. And I mean, like George Burns with his chomping his cigar used to do that back in the, was it George Burns and his wife had a TV show. And he used to do that every once in a while, a little bit. But for the most part, that's kind of an unusual way of doing things. So that's a more modern approach to telling the story, which, I mean, it has a history of its own. Like even in Shakespeare, you'll have like characters who just talk right to the audience. You have like the Greek chorus that gives you information that everyone else won't know in the story. You have these kinds of things that exist previous to modern sitcoms. But by going bit by bit through the kind of history of sitcoms, in a way, you get to see how it all progresses. And that's part of the story itself. So she's definitely regressed to this kind of simple, idyllic kind of hope and desire for things. And as things become more and more complicated, that hope and that idyllic nature kind of starts to break down through the course of the show.
Well, I think it's clever that at the turning point in the series where they kind of reach that crisis moment where they realize this isn't just an ever-changing reality, that's precisely where they're doing those mockumentary sitcoms, where either, you know, in the case of The Office, it is explicitly a mockumentary style where the characters will even occasionally make eye contact with the camera for humor. Or in the case of Modern Family, you have the characters essentially being interviewed about a scene that they're about to do or that you've just seen.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, this is where you're invited along for this, for the ride, right? So, and as it's unfolding, then you're piecing together what's going on as they're piecing together what's going on. And then it becomes a bit of a two-way conversation at points. But the question is like, are people like these B character Avengers, are people going to like put in the time to like go on this little story of character development or not? Like, in essence, if you have 9 episodes and they're about 35 minutes long or so, you know, that's roughly kind of like 2 movies worth of material. You could have had one in theaters, which is funny to say these days, but like you could have had one in theater movie about Wanda and Vision and having it be a love story about grief and loss and all the rest of it. But would people have gone and seen it? So you take that story and you chop shop it up into and pad it out a little bit, and you turn it into 9 episodes, and there you have it. So the medium is the message. They are using this medium of this half hour TV show to tell a story that they might not have been able to do in a different medium to the same success, if that makes any kind of sense.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're talking about the Disney Plus TV series WandaVision. Well, we are struggling as a society with the notion of reality. Does everyone make their own? Someone's saying that there's objective reality is a pretty subversive idea. We'll discuss that next.
In the midst of life's struggles and trials, we are tempted to find comfort in something other than the Word of God, to find comfort in something other than where God has promised to be and what He has promised about us. Oftentimes, we find this comfort, knowingly or unknowingly, in superstitions, in the various superstitions that surround us. Read the March issue of the Lutheran Witness to find out more about superstitions and their place in the Christian life. We talk about superstition, scientism, and so much more. Visit cph.org/witness to order your copy today. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Hosea with Whiplash, Plea for Repentance, Punishment and Restoration, Betrothal, and Gomer Redeemed. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Historic St. Paul Lutheran Church in the heart of Austin, Texas, is glad to support the work of Issues Etc. I'm Pastor Brian Wolfmuller, pastor of St. Paul, and I'm glad we're part of this effort. Issues Etc. for decades has been the premier voice of Lutheran doctrine and biblical teaching in all of the world, and we're glad to be a little part of making sure that the work continues. If you're ever in Austin, stop by and visit us. All the information is on the website, stpaulaustin.org. That's stpaulaustin.org.
For your next family vacation, consider our beach house. A charming 3-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at siestakeyrentalgenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Atonement Lutheran, Glendale, Arizona. Concordia Lutheran, Geneseo, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Stevensville, Montana. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. St. John Lutheran, Port Sanilac, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Long Beach, California. And Trinity Lutheran, San Dimas, California. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Disney TV series WandaVision. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. So we've been discussing here in several different ways the question of whether or not there's objective reality. And this series, WandaVision, toys with that. We are struggling with this notion as a society. In fact, to assert that there is objective truth is considered a pretty subversive idea.
Well, I mean, it comes along at a very interesting time. Like, I think the whole entire world, North America for sure, is like only has one foot on the merry-go-round right now. Like, and, you know, people are going to church online. They're not going in person in some places. Which was would have been unimaginable for most people that are now finding themselves in that scenario. And just like the general proliferation of all this, like a lot of people with their cell phones and stuff, depending on what kind of phone or tablet they might have, you know, they get weekly reports about how much time they spent looking at it. You know, and how much time are they negotiating a fabricated world? How real is that world? How, like, and with everybody being kind of to greater or lesser degrees cut off from each other in terms of their personal, like just getting together to have coffee or just being in a pub together having lunch or something or visiting each other in their homes, their relationships are being kind of forced into this digital world that is neither, you know, 100% unreal and neither 100% completely real. So this character of the Vision, who already is a artificial intelligence character, like this is a transhumanist storyline, like par excellence, right? So you have this very amiable, likable artificial intelligence character. And now you've got a situation at the end of this where you've got two versions of himself coming into contact with each other. And the one version has the physical reality to him, and he's been given the orders to like destroy the Vision. So now their horns are locked, and suddenly this philosophical idea called the Ship of Theseus comes out. So that the one tells the other, well, you know, I'm not really the Vision because I'm a creation of Wanda Maximoff. I don't have the physical reality that you have, so you don't have to destroy me because I don't really exist properly. And what that boils down to is this idea of the Ship of Theseus as an artifact in the museum. So you've got this museum piece, and over time, its planks of wood rot and are replaced with new planks. So then when no original planks of wood remain, is it still the Ship of Theseus? And this is the question that gets asked. And that's interesting for these characters, but I think that if you want to go further outside of it and start thinking about it, about ourselves, transhumanism then gets into this idea that how do you, like, let's say your physical body dies, is there a way to take your mind or your soul and have it extend in some other form in the present? Like, would that be inside of a synthetic body or an artificial, utilizing some kind of artificial intelligence or some kind of algorithm or things like that? And I think for the Christian, we need to think of of the way that we're like, we are described, like us as people, like how we are described. So Jesus says, when he's talking about the law, you know, he says, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Right? And then the second part is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus describes you as having heart, soul, mind, and strength. So you're not just a biological body and your soul doesn't exist. It's a, like some sort of artifact of chemical processes in the brain. Like, the Christian's going to say that we have heart, soul, mind, and strength. So what are you if you now exist inside of a synthetic body that you didn't start with? So these are like transhumanist questions that the Christian needs to ask. Is that even you at all? And of course, when we hit our end, you know, in this life, in this world, the Christian says, I believe in the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. We look to the last day when we are risen up, made new. Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. But it's not like a new body off the rack. It's you, right? So these are things that parents, because this is largely directed towards children, like, or young people, a show like this on Disney Plus, for heaven's sakes. So maybe in your household, you might need to talk about, well, who are you? What makes you you? And then, of course, as Christians, we would say our identity is in our baptism into Christ Jesus. As a takeaway from all of this, that hand, that the Ship of Theseus philosophical question doesn't get played until the last episode of the show. So on the one hand, you know, like, how do we as Christians deal with grief and loss? On the other hand, how do we deal with questions of who we are, like in our totality, our entirety? I think those are things worth thinking about and talking about amongst ourselves as families and people who have watched this show.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He is pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
We'll be talking about woke ideology in public schools with Josh Pauling. He's been teaching high school history for 13 years, and he's author of a recent column titled The Look of the Hunted in Today's U.S. High Schools. You can help new Christians or those curious about the true Easter miracle with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, A Simple Explanation of Easter. These booklets are sold in packets of 20, making them perfect for outreach programs, new member classes, and in church pews. Find out more about A Simple Explanation of Easter at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, A Simple Explanation of Easter.
LCMS Life Ministry is hosting a virtual life conference, Making Disciples, Valuing Life, on March 19th and 20th. Dozens of experts in life ministry will present and answer questions throughout the conference in on-demand videos and live sessions. Participate in the conference, be equipped to speak up for the sanctity of life, and gain ideas on how to care for life. Join us as we build a team for new life ministry challenges. Register now at lcms-life.org, lcms-life.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at lutheranpublicradio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
In 2020, the world was blindsided. At the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, we quickly refocused on how to best serve the church. Our COVID-19 response team took action, reaching out and listening to our borrowers. In response, we offered a number of financial remedies that allowed our borrowers time to stabilize. We also provided online streaming kits for churches, gift cards for food pantries, financial support for LCMS church workers, and much more. Life's not yet back to normal, and that's why we're still here for you. Visit lcef.org to learn more.